Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, radio family. This is Sister Judith, and I welcome you to the broadcast today. I'm so glad that you could find time in your schedule to be with me. Well, with the Lord's help, we're going to continue on in a message I've entitled The End Time Gideon Band, that we have been looking at the book of Judges, the 6th, 7th, and we'll be looking a little bit at the 8th chapter. But I saw some very remarkable parallels from this account that we see in the book of Judges, actually the time in which Gideon lived, applications to the present hour in which we live. What do we see with Gideon? Well, he lived among a people who had turned away from serving their God. And just as the Lord had warned and declared to them through prophets from times years before, that if they turned away from following the true God, they would suffer the consequences. So as a result, in this particular period, we see them oppressed by the hand of the Midianites for 7 years, as well as the Amalekites and other children of the east. And they were under such duress, they had experienced such poverty, their crops were being destroyed, their herds were being wiped out, that they cried unto the Lord. And God, who searches the hearts of every man, looked to find a man who would be able to follow his leading, who would obey him, and who would have the strength to do what he had asked of him. And so we see God calling Gideon. And beloved, we are living in very serious times here in this nation. There are so many things that are fearful, that cause, unless you know the Lord, their hearts are quaking for fear, failing for fear because of the things coming upon the earth, not only in terms of natural events, geophysical events, the things that are happening in nature, the storms, the floodings, all these kinds of things, but also the changes in our society. We are becoming increasingly violent. Crime, violence of every form, injuries, the family breaking down, so many things, crimes of a nature that we would never have heard reported decades ago. We are living in very critical times, and so God is looking for a people who will stand up and be counted for Him. And that's what we see. God called Gideon. He felt very unlikely to be the person who would lead the children of Israel in battle, but that's exactly whom God calls. He calls the weak things of this world, the foolish things, to confound the strong and the mighty and the wise. He is calling you and me, beloved, and we cannot look at our own subjective analysis of our giftings and our abilities. If God is calling us, we have but one response, and that is to respond in obedience, because just as we might raise a host of objections, just as Gideon did, just as Moses before him, yet the Lord's remarks to them are the same to us: I am the Lord, and I will be with thee. And so what, as we open now a new chapter, if you will, in this event of the call of Gideon, we see that he puts a trumpet to his lips, the Spirit of the Lord comes upon him, people respond, Manasseh comes, they gather around together, and let's now start looking at verse 1 in chapter 7. We see Zerubbabel, who is Gideon, all the people that were with him, rose up early and pitched beside the well of Herod, so that the host of the Midianites were on the north side of them by the hill of Morah in the valley. Basically, the Midian camp was north of Gideon, and it runs, this hill of the teacher, if you will, runs roughly north, east and west, creating an effective block from the valley northward into Tabor. And on the southern slope in the valley below, the Midianite hordes were spread out. So Gideon begins this confrontation with an advantage of higher ground, a higher location. Let me now read verses 2 to 3. And the Lord said unto Gideon, the people that are with thee are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, mine own hand has saved me. Now therefore, go to proclaim in the ears of the people, saying, whosoever is fearful and afraid, let him return and depart early from Mount Gilead. And there returned of the people 22,000, and there remained 10,000. Beloved, what was going on here? He spoke to Gideon to announce to the men that had gathered themselves that if anyone was fearful, if anyone was faint-hearted, that they were to go back home, basically. And why would he say this? Because God wants to prove himself that he is Almighty God. And he wants no natural agency to be able to be attributed to his working. If there were a great number of people, he just said that. He didn't want the people to say, well, look how brave we were, look how smart we were, look how strong we were. And sometimes, beloved, that's why in our very own lives, circumstances sometimes have to be impossible, because God wants to get the glory. When Gideon blew the trumpet, 32,000 responded. However, we find, as we look at the scripture, there were 135,000 of the enemy. And the word tells us, for not he that commendeth himself is approved, but whom the Lord commendeth. That's 2 Corinthians 8:10-18. Our own strength and our own wisdom is not acceptable to God, that no flesh shall glory in his presence. Remember, the Lord said through the prophet Zechariah in 4 and 6 of that book, it's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit. And what we see in here, although fear is natural, even the bravest, the strongest soldier will admit they have to battle fear. Does it mean they're not fearful? Of course not. But they take authority over their fear, and in spite of fear, they make a choice of the will to do that which is right, to do that which is courageous. But those who are fearful and those who are self-interested, they're always a hindrance to the work of God, because unbelief is enmity against the Lord. God is pleased with those who will trust him, those who believe that he is and that he's a rewarder of them who diligently seek him. There's another, if you will, parallel passage found in the book of Deuteronomy 20:8, where the Lord says, what man is there that is fearful and faint-hearted? Let him go and return to his house, lest his brethren's heart faint, as well as his heart. You see, we influence one another, beloved. If someone is fearful, if someone is unbelieving, if someone is angry, that has a way of proliferating among those who are surrounding them. On the other hand, if someone is brave and courageous, that instills courage in others. And those who have a heart, even though they may be battling some personal fear, they know that that's what they need to do, that's what they want to do, that's what they desire to do. And so, even though those 10,000 may have been afraid, yet they chose, even though they were facing battle and perhaps the loss of their own life, they wanted to stay. But those who were just interested totally in self, they turned out because they had never turned in. But 1 John 2:19 says, for if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. So what follows now is something very interesting. There are two tests, if you will, that we see happening in this chapter. And the first one is purging by personal will. This is what we're just seeing now, because the Lord said in verse 3, now therefore go to proclaim in the ears of the people, saying, whosoever is fearful and afraid, basically let him go home. And so 22,000 left, and 10,000 remained. And so this was a test by personal will. This people were given a choice. They were not being forced, but only if they desired to stay. There was certainly personal risk, but that was a choice they needed to make. And so God caused the numbers, the ranks of those who would actually be fighting, He let them, every individual, make a choice. And then we see with the 10,000 that remained, then where there was a purging by divine will. Let me read that to you. And the Lord said unto Gideon, can you imagine how Gideon was feeling? The people are yet too many. Bring them down into the water, and I will try them for thee there. And it shall be that of whom I say unto thee, this shall go with thee, the same shall go with thee. And of whomsoever I say unto thee, this shall not go with thee, the same shall not go. So he brought them down, the people down into the water, and the Lord said unto Gideon, everyone that lappeth of the water with his tongue as a dog lappeth, him shalt thou set by himself. Likewise, everyone that boweth down upon his knees to drink. And the number of them that lapped, putting their mouth to their, their hand to their mouth, were 300 men. But all the rest of the people bowed down upon their knees to drink water. And the Lord said unto Gideon, by the 300 men that lapped will I save you, and deliver the Midianites into thine hand, and let all the other people go every man unto his place. The word of the Lord says in Isaiah 1 and 25, I will turn my hand upon thee and purely purge away thy dross and take away thy tin. Beloved, we see the Lord now was doing an even finer sifting, if you will, of those who were faithful, those who were being courageous, and was taking out a remnant for himself. Beloved, I believe we see that happening in the church today. Regardless of your background, your experience, whatever your credentials, quote, you might consider that you have, God is looking at the heart, and he's bringing out a remnant who are going to be used to see the ranks and the host of the enemy defeated in this hour. Praise God. Well, my time is gone and I must bring this broadcast to a close. We'll continue on tomorrow's broadcast. The announcer will give our contact information. And until then, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
Well, this has been the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Sister Glass. Thank you for spending time with us. We pray it's been a time of ministry and encouragement for you. If you would like to write to Sister Glass, there are a couple of ways as you can do so. You can write and address your envelope to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. Or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop Sister Glass an email. Again, write to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606. Or send her an email through our website, unveiledchrist.org. And please remember that your prayers and tax-deductible support allow this ministry to continue on this station. Until next time, God bless. Oh,